All right, all you good, wonderful citizens of Crypt Nation, welcome back. Welcome back to another action-packed, high-caliber episode here of the Crypto 101 podcast. I'm feeling fired up. All the bears who thought we were going to get a complete capitulation in the market are proven wrong yet again. I don't want to be a grave dancer or anything, but it seems like Bitcoin has been just a stalwart here in the markets, no matter what macro throws at it, no matter what hyper-liquid, over-leveraged traders throw at it. You just can't knock Bitcoin down. And it's been a really, really fun season. Sell in May, go away was proven wrong this year. It was one of the best Mays in history, both for the stock market and for Bitcoin. So, man, I'm pumped up, Brendan. How are you feeling, man?
You know, I'll stir the pot a little bit here, Bryce. I'm okay with being a grave dancer on the Bears. The Bears can get wrecked. They can get liquidated. Let them go to zero until there's no sellers left. Zero. I'm fine with that. I think all of us here are fine with that because Bitcoin is pushing higher. And, you know, I really don't think anything is going to be stopping it anytime soon.
Yeah, man, I'm so excited. We're joined by an incredible guest today, Joe Kelly, the co-founder and CEO of Unchained. We're going to be talking about all the Bitcoin financial services that they're offering from the man himself. Joe, how are you doing? And thanks for joining us.
I'm great. I'm happy to join you on the hype train. We were talking about a little earlier. Just got back from the Bitcoin conference in Vegas last week, and that was really an all-star event. And great, a lot of great buzz. Just ready to go home by the end, but I think that's like that mix of Vegas and conference fatigue.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime I go to one of those conferences for 3 or 4 days, especially if it's in Vegas, you combine those two, it's just like, whew, what a whirlwind. But real quick, actually, before we dive into everything about you and your company, give us the high level on that Bitcoin event. It was like had a bunch of buzz. Everybody was talking about it. I saw the vice president spoke there and
yeah.
What was going on? What was the high level?
I mean, I think overall, just it brought in a lot of like all parts, all corners of the industry. And also just now where the industry's at in maturity, you know, there's now politicians and there's senators and vice presidents. Last year, a presidential candidate, obviously, too. So it's a real mix. I think that and it's great just insofar as like even bringing, you know, quote, enemies. We had like Brad Garlinghouse from the Ripple community guy like there.
Peter Schiff.
With David Bailey. You know, Peter Schiff had a booth. I love that, dude. That,
how was that?
That was kind of a hoot. Definitely a lot of our team was keen to meet him. So really great. And you know, we've done the Bitcoin conference really since 2019 as Unchained. And so I've also watched it kind of grow and develop. And I've always kind of found our niche or our sweet spot of the parties we host and the ways the partners we partner with on that kind of a thing. So just all like it's just like a great time. The biggest stuff being talked about often tend to be these Bitcoin treasury companies. I think right now that's just all the rage. Outside of that, Unchained had some announcements going in that we will talk about later. And, you know, I think there was otherwise a lot of other good innovation and just good things happening on the trade floor.
Beautiful. Well, it's always good to get the inside look. You know, those conferences, they could be expensive for our listeners. So they always like to kind of hear from our guests as to what's going on at these big deals. So it's great to hear that those Bitcoin corporate treasuries are really in full swing. But I want to really, you know, focus the conversation on what you're building, because I think what you're building is hyper relevant to our listeners, something that they could actually use, right? Sometimes we'll bring on people, they're developing these big fancy platforms that, you know, at the end of the day, it's maybe for developers or it's for hedge funds or something that the average everyday Crypto 101 listener can't really utilize. But with Unchained, it's something that whether you're a recent college grad or whether you're, you know, headed into retirement or already there, you could find an incredibly, you know, useful set of tools at Unchained. So I want to dive in just at the top of the pod. Tell us what Unchained is, what your mission is, and what you offer to investors.
Yeah, I love that you characterized us that way or saw maybe the usefulness or usability, hopefully for your audience.
Because totally.
That's where we started with Unchained. I think, you know, my co-founder, my second company, we learned in that first business, the pain, the challenge of starting a business that had like, you know, no customers or you didn't know who your customer was early on. Even when they sold it, we learned a lot of good things by the end. We started Unchained. We wanted to know who the customer was. And this was in 2015, 2016, the environment of where it's even here today, but even back then it was so strong. It was, I don't know about this Bitcoin thing, but blockchain technology, that's the cool thing. That's going to be what's for let's try to apply that to healthcare. Let's apply that to real estate. Let's apply it to these other things. Dentists, you know, Dentacoin.
Yeah, Dentacoin.
they need a blockchain. But I was like, man, you know, the number one users of the blockchain are Bitcoin holders. It's the mm-hmm. biggest asset. It's a real live functioning blockchain. And so if you're trying to develop blockchain technology, kind of anything, air quotes, like just go where the customers are. So the idea was for Unchained to be a company that serves long-term Bitcoin holders. Because Bitcoin is money, we treat the business model and the asset like we're a financial services company. But we've always also had a very strong technology foundation. We acknowledge from the very beginning that due to Bitcoin's novel technical nature and the capabilities you can have to hold your own keys and work with Bitcoin in that way, that we needed to also support that at Unchained. And that's both been important from just a fundamental security principle, kind of a Bitcoiner values principle, and a way we differentiate in a market that's been noisy and has a lot of different custody solutions or other financial services. We always privilege that idea that clients can hold their own keys when they work with us.
Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus. Attention, cigar enthusiasts. Today, we're thrilled to introduce to you CigarBid, America's number one online cigar auction site. If you're looking for unbeatable deals on every type of cigar, listen up. At CigarBid, you have the power to set your own price, often scoring top quality cigars and accessories at prices much lower than retail. Others want you to believe they are always giving you their best deal, but at CigarBid, you get to decide the deal. It's the cigar site the rest of the industry does not want you to know about. Score deals at the best prices every single day. The live auctions are fast-paced and exciting, making every bid a thrilling experience. Check out Freefall to watch the prices drop in real time, or the Power Hour for our fastest-paced auctions. CigarBid has a text update so you get notified when you're outbid and get exclusive deals right to you. And if bidding is not your thing, then no problem at all, because you can buy the cigars straight up at awesome low prices as well. So no matter what you're looking for, you'll find it at CigarBid. So if you're ready to enjoy the fun and the convenient way to purchase fine cigars at great prices online, visit cigarbid.com/crypto101. That's cigarbid.com/crypto101. Happy bidding. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? And credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With Gemini Credit Card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight into your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, or you're a faithful listener of the Crypto 101 podcast and love Bitcoin and other cryptos, visit the Gemini credit card website so it's easy for you to earn even more Bitcoin or crypto with their credit card. Again, visit Gemini.com/card today to learn more.
And when you built Unchained, were you really building for the everyday investor that was kind of your primary clientele base, or were you focused on institutions and saying, hey, we're going to, you know, equip institutions with, you know, a lot of great tooling? Where do you guys kind of split that?
Really, it's been individuals, I'd say, for the most part. We have
individuals,
institutions, and definitely some businesses, like smaller companies. We have some miners. There's at least one public company miner that works with us. So we do cover some of the gamut, but you know, to characterize us, we have 9,000 clients. Most of them are in the U.S. and most of them are individuals. And we have, you know, over 105,000 Bitcoin that we help secure. So it's also a reasonable density. We're probably not the best solution for somebody if you're buying your first $500 of Bitcoin. But as soon as that Bitcoin starts to be in maybe the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, material wealth you wouldn't want to lose. Start to look at real good security solutions. inheritance protocols, ways those assets can be passed on.
And so you say Bitcoin Financial Services on your website, and that's kind of the whole idea. But I think a lot of people listening are like, oh, Bitcoin Financial Services, is that a wallet? Is that an exchange? And it's not. But can you explain what it is that you're actually doing with financing and multi-sig and all this kind of stuff?
Yeah. So really, usually the way we form a customer or client relationship is around custody first. So the client is somebody who holds 10 or 20 Bitcoin now. It's now an appreciable portion of their household wealth. They want to make sure it's extra secure. They want to sleep well at night, knowing that it's not sitting in a Coinbase account that might get hacked, or might they get prevented from spending from due to some of that centralization risk, or if they've already graduated or are starting to use a hardware wallet, that maybe is just one hardware wallet, so a single point of failure for them. So exploring multi-sig, the idea that using multiple keys to protect your Bitcoin, and Bitcoin supports this natively. It's one of the things that creates more robust security in Bitcoin versus other assets or blockchains that don't have like a native multi-sig option. Bitcoin lets you construct in its native scripting language addresses that have a rule set where primarily on chain we use, for instance, 2 of 3. So there's 3 keys associated with a Bitcoin address, and 2 of those keys are required to create signatures in order for the Bitcoin to move. So it's just a core building block, a core way the Bitcoin software works and recognizes valid transactions and spends. And so when a client's coming to us and they're setting up what's called a client-controlled vault, they're holding 2 keys. We're holding 1, the 3rd key. That means a client can lose a key, or if they just don't have access to it, they can ask Unchained to sign when they're trying to move Bitcoin from their vault. But also we're very aware, and we learned pretty soon after launching this vault product, that there's still gaps in comfort, gaps in knowledge, or just that challenge of like, did I do it right? Even if you just use a package of software. And things like money, and especially large amounts of money, they carry emotions. They carry emotions like fear and anxiety and helplessness, or like just these kind of challenging emotions. So we often like to deal with people, or other people that can help assuage us or help us talk us down, help us tell us, did I do it right? Is this the correct way for this to be? Am I safe? And so that's one way Unchained has learned and adapted, is that, as we've known, you can't just sell the software. You can't just sell a wallet. A wallet or a piece of software is not going to give that person that kind of end-to-end, that fuller emotional experience to know, to have the comfort that this is correct, this is good. My spouse or my heirs are going to be able to get the Bitcoin when something happens, those kinds of questions and causes for anxiety. So Unchained is kind of both there. That's that technology service and platform that we've built, and this white glove, high service, high client service kind of minded firm. So those kind of come together, and in financial services, it is a service too. Service is kind of in the name. And so it's rare still to have like a financial services relationship with like a bank or an investment advisor that you don't also get to call or like talk to a human. So that human layer is important. We've always had a 800 number on our website, place people can call when they have questions, when they're becoming a client or already a client, we can work with them. And the other kind of more like financial things that happen with Unchained. So we have one of the longest running lending desks. We lend dollars against Bitcoin as collateral. Right now we do that with commercial loans only. So it must be an LLC. It can be a single member LLC, but it must be basically an entity. That's where client posts Bitcoin as collateral. Usually at right now it's 200% of the principal they're looking for. So if you're looking for a $150,000 loan, we require $300,000 of collateral. We've been doing that since 2017. So that's what makes us one of, if not the most longest running lending desk continually, and without ever suffering any loan losses. We're never having, we don't rehypothecate. One of the things that differentiates our loan product is that Bitcoin always stays in the address it was put in, and the client gets to hold a key. So that same multi-sig format, it's a little bit reversed. Unchained controls effectively 2 of the 3 keys, while the client can still maintain 1 key, and that helps provide that cryptographic proof, that linkage, that their Bitcoin is where we told them it is, and it is for the duration of the loan. We have a trading desk. We have over 30, almost 40 MTLs, especially where required, and some states don't require it, but like that puts us as trading enabled in, I think, at least 45 states. Clients can buy and sell Bitcoin through us directly from their cold storage vault.
MTL being a money transmitter license, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. The money transmission license. basic framework you have to have if you're conducting buy-sell kinds of transactions for clients. We have some lending trading. We have an IRA account, one of the few and rare IRA accounts where you can hold Bitcoin and hold your own keys to it. So also unique in that way. And then we have a registered investment advisory subsidiary. So for people, especially where you get to a point where you might be debating, do I sell some Bitcoin? Do I borrow some? Or, you know, can I retire in 5 years based on how much Bitcoin I have? Some of these kinds of things, these questions. It's really hard for a lot of people to engage their traditional wealth advisor on topics around their Bitcoin. Totally. The advisor might be ideologically opposed to it. They might have compliance reasons they can't talk about it. The main number of reasons why people like have to hide their Bitcoin from their advisor. So we help to kind of fill that gap with this RIA. We have it's a wholly owned affiliate here called Sound Advisory, and provides financial planning, tax advice, and other ways we help clients.
What's the name of it?
Sound Advisory.
Sound Advisory. Okay, cool. I'm going to look into that one.
Yeah. And then lastly, just kind of the most recent arc to our journey is we announced a couple weeks ago, Gannett Trust Company. So it's another wholly owned company here at Unchained. It's a licensed and regulated trust company by the state of Wyoming. Just received its charter. It'll be open for business within another month or two. And that's going to be where even more of those kind of fiduciary financial services around like financial planning, the wealth management sides of the business will occur. We'll be able to do things like full custody or custody where clients don't hold their own keys. And especially where people are planning for different kinds of trust structures and other kind of more advanced estate planning vehicles, Gannett Trust will be there to help with that.
Man, there's a lot going on there. definitely a lot to unpack.
It's full gamut.
I could see also, before you get to your question, Brent, I could see why you guys only focus on Bitcoin, because imagine doing that for the millions of different crypto assets. It would be technical, you know, just confusion for everybody, and for the dev team, it would just be insane. So it makes sense that you guys focus on your lane and do it perfectly. So,
yeah, you recognize that. And we did have a period even, we supported Ethereum as loan collateral for about 18 months. And it was both a nightmare for our dev team. It was also not very practical as just a business. It was only about 5% of our loan book.
Yeah.
And so we kind of learned from that of just, yeah, you have to make this business model work in Bitcoin or it wouldn't work anywhere else anyways.
And, you know, I think that this can go back to a larger lesson, which is that oftentimes people come into the crypto market and they try to dip their toes into everything, whether that is owning 1,000 different cryptocurrencies or trying to get involved in every single ecosystem. And we're talking, you know, from people who work in this space full time. And we recognize that, you know, you can dip your toes in too many different avenues. And sometimes it doesn't make sense to always do that. So yeah. I know that that's not a one for one example here, but the general idea is that you can spread yourself out too thin. And sometimes it doesn't make sense to do everything all at the same time. But, you know, I want to go back to a point that you said earlier, because you've called the biggest bottleneck in Bitcoin adoption educational, you know, not technical, not a regulatory. You said it was educational. So what do people still like misunderstand the most about it?
I do think borrowing from a friend or in the way they put this, but that's like one of the most dangerous ideas about Bitcoin is that you're too late. That like that idea, which is by now like over a decade old.
People I've heard that every year for the past 10 years.
And believing that, you know, that's harmed a lot of portfolios. That's one of those like errors of omission of just like not doing something because you felt like you were too late. And so let's go explore the other 99,000 cryptocurrencies. Or something like that, because maybe that'll be the next Bitcoin. So I think that's just something to be wary of. And I think Bitcoin, part of what has kept me in here, I'd be curious if this is also the same for y'all, just at least, you know, as it represented the kind of industry or place I could stake the next decade or more of my career into when we got started, was it's an immense rabbit hole of intellectual topics and curiosities that, you know, are at the intersection of so many aspects of modern life, such as computer science, technology, plus cryptography, plus social systems, design of economies, design of, you know, central bank-like functions, what all those things mean. And so that is a lot to unpack. And that's part of the overwhelmingness of like the education idea of just people kind of look for simple answers, look for simple things. What's gone up the most recently? Let me kind of pile into that. I think astute investing has a lot of, whether there's counterintuitive things or just things that you can't, you always have to leave your, you have to examine your first feeling a bit more. I think hopefully most of us who heard about Bitcoin and tend to be rational or skeptical, that first hearing was, it wasn't, oh, I'm already too late. It was before that, it was, that sounds like a scam. That is not, that can't be right. Or this sounds like everything I heard that was a scam. And I think that's great. It's a great instinct because it protects you like a lot of our fears or anxieties do in just, you know, innumerable circumstances. But I love being wrong. Like one of my favorite things is like in the year tallying up how many ideas did I change? What assumptions have I had to overturn? And Bitcoin will do that for you and with you, like as long as you're willing to examine it or like ask the question.
Yeah, it's funny. I get that question all the time. Like, am I too late? And I finally come up with my response where I was like, are you too late to money? Like, are you like, you know, every time that you earn a paycheck, are you too late to cash? Because Bitcoin's going to be that digital money of the future, whether you believe it or not, it's very clearly going that way. So are you too late to money? Well, if you're not too late to money and earning a career and saving, then you're not too late to Bitcoin because it's always going to be there. Trust me, it's not changing. And so I love your framing there.
Imagine if people said the same thing about the stock market. Oh, 15 years exactly. Into the S&P 500, 15 years, oh, you're too late. You're done. Don't invest in it. You know, look back at that in hindsight and it's like, yeah, you know, there's going to be periods of hurt, but you look out to the big picture. And again, I think the big picture of Bitcoin is painted so much more clearly than any kind of stock market or traditional asset that we could ever compare. You look at the chart of Bitcoin over the last 5 years or 15 years, it dwarfs just about anything else that we could see. So,
in like every time frame.
Every time frame, everyone.
Dude, it's a funny point. Like, are you too late to Bitcoin? No. Are you too late to the stock market? No. Are you too late to getting out of fiat or your bonds position before they unwind in a debt spiral? You might be too late for that if you haven't repositioned. Like some of these big bond funds, like Cantor Fitzgerald, they realize like they hold all these bonds, all these bond trader funds, and they're like, we need Bitcoin exposure to hedge this sovereign debt sort of crisis or spiral that could happen if we keep raising our deficits and our productivity doesn't reach up and America like is kind of the focal point because it's the biggest market, but it's really the cleanest shirt in the dirty laundry pile. Like all the other countries have bigger fiscal and monetary issues, so you might be too late to that, so you should definitely get out of all your fiat, not all of it, but you know, as much as you're willing to lose. But no, it's a really funny point. I'm glad you brought that up. But like actually going to like the sort of the idea of like Cantor Fitzgerald and like all these other financial services companies that are now like going not all in on Bitcoin, but they're certainly now here. How does that affect your business? Because, you know, here you are, you know, you're past the startup phase. You're in that sort of, you know, teenage adolescent years. But yes. Now you see all these megaliths, these, you know, guys with billions and billions of dollars. I mean, BlackRock with trillions of dollars, Fidelity, they're getting in. So it's validating to everything you've been doing. Are they coming to you for like, hey, could we buy you? Are you like, hey, we're going to be the next BlackRock? Like, how do you kind of think about your positioning in the market?
Yeah. I mean, good question. I appreciate, I've used actually several times over the last couple of months, the characterization of Unchained as in adolescence, and that just kind of shows up sometimes. And like, we're also learning as emerging leaders and managers and what is there to say about our business model in some of that respects. And so I've often thought too, Unchained is just a very, reflective of the industry overall in a certain way, just because we have always hewed to being very Bitcoin native, very Bitcoin focused. So the industry is kind of growing up. There's a couple ways I'd say just in terms of positioning that the best thing we've earned and we continue to work hard to earn is that client relationship and that client trust. And we earn that through the doors of like their Bitcoin journey and just where they're at, how they secure it, how they set up, how they feel good. And that's the key leverage point for us to then sell other financial services. I do think it's not unlikely that, you know, in the coming years, Unchained will help or have means by which through either a trust company or otherwise that maybe your stocks, your traditional securities and bonds would like live near your Unchained Bitcoin balance and portfolio with us kind of a thing. So we do advance towards kind of a roadmap of more of a complete financial services provider or more complete suite of things that we can do for clients. just given the trust and the leverage point we have in that place within their financial life. And I think the key thing that differentiates Unchained on that entry is around the Bitcoin. And there's a way Unchained's had to build and divide design its services that's very anathema, or like very hard for a traditional financial services firm to like go out and do. There's a significant innovator's dilemma in how to come over to this world of like self-custody enablement. Businesses like BlackRock, Fidelity, many others, they work in this centralized custody model. The assets come into the asset manager. The assets either stay there or maybe they go elsewhere, but they're kind of managed or administered by the centralized asset manager, and they fee on that. So the business model has this captive assets plus a fee, and sometimes maybe some risks baked into that, transparently or not, but just like where are the assets, where are the stocks, or where are the dollars that are there. And that's like where business models like Schwab, my numbers are dated here, but I know early on with Unchained, it was like 60% of the revenues, 60 or 70% at Schwab came from the interest Schwab was making on cash in brokerage accounts.
Wow.
Like the cash was just in there. The Schwab parks it in treasuries. The client gets, you know, a tenth of that, if that at all. And I don't know the exact figures, but for them and many of these other businesses, that's still the kind of main engine of cash and how those they make money. So how else they can make money when stock trades are free or when like that business has kind of been commoditized as well. So we've had to kind of learn that as well ourselves, just kind of in the hard way of, again, when we're helping clients secure their Bitcoin and they're holding majority of the keys, we're no longer this captive custodian. We're no longer able to then like, you know, lend out the assets. There's not really even much of a good lending market for Bitcoin anyways, but that's not something we can do. So I can't like slap a bill on you. And if you try to withdraw your funds now, but you have an unpaid balance, like you can't take your Bitcoin out. So your clients, they have what I would call a sovereign recovery backdoor. Any client controlled vault, anytime they can take the vault config file they give them at the start, and they can move that into another open source wallet and move their Bitcoin with their own keys without ever touching an Unchained web property if they wanted to. So it's that kind of preserving that access to the base layer Bitcoin that is part of what makes Unchained unique and more maybe trustful for our clients when they come in the door. And it's just, again, something that like if your business model, like these traditional institutions, depend on the capture of the assets and the feeing and the doing things with those client assets at the end of the day, that you're just going to be unwilling to do this. It just kind of breaks your business model. It's a very different format and different setup. So it is though, you know, a time when more of those companies are looking at the industry, and I do think there's ways we'll partner with them over time. I do think there's something to how hopefully in our mission with Unchained, the custodial ecosystem for Bitcoin evolves so that there's not just this kind of this topography that's just like a few big mountain, you know, custodians like the Coinbase, the BNY Mellon, or the BitGo, kind of a place that already with Unchained, I mentioned the, you know, almost 10,000 clients we have and the 105,000 Bitcoin, that Bitcoin is secured by around 20,000 keys because each of those clients tends to have two keys on average. And so that's just a very different landscape for security for the Bitcoin that's here versus the Bitcoin at Coinbase, which is centralized and probably has more than one key. I don't know what their security setup looks like, but it's just very different attack surface than, oh, you want to come try to get all the Bitcoin in a chain, you're going to have to, you know, work your way into these thousands of keys somehow, kind of a thing. So that's a truly more decentralized custody type of format we would love to see over time. Traditional custodians embrace this kind of way of working with clients and customers on, you know, they're just one key of many that might be used in multi-sig for different products.
And when you think about sort of like, you know, I look at, you know, we mentioned the corporate strategies or the corporate treasuries like strategy, like these ETFs. Does that come to bear on your business at all? Like all of these new ways of getting exposure to Bitcoin that no longer maybe people have to hold private keys. They kind of outsource it to Michael Saylor or to BlackRock. And of course, there's an element of trust there that you have to trust that they're doing things right and yada, yada, yada. But have you gotten any sort of you know, feedback from your clients on that? Or have you seen the market change a bit?
We definitely looked at, there's a lot of, you know, discussions early on, especially early last year and late 23 about like ETFs, like, will those be competition? And I can't say or think of any clients. Surely there's probably at least one, maybe less than five, though, of clients who left on chain for the ETF. You know, I don't, mm-hmm. And that may happen. I mean, people may decide that managing their own keys is not for them. And the, you know, securities and brokerage industry has evolved enough such that, like, you know, your brokerage account is a pretty solid experience, and, you know, the path of inheritance and things like that for a portfolio of ETFs and securities is pretty well known. So that's great. It's definitely expanded the total addressable market, and demand for this kind of asset. And so that's good. I think the treasury companies, that's kind of more of an arbitrage story for me of just like the point in time we're at, the way there's just a dislocation, or there's just a difference in pricing for different corners of capital markets, and who's willing to pay what, and what stories sell, and how, you know, different investors are willing to jump in on something that's trading at a premium to its asset value of Bitcoin underneath. So I view that as like kind of a temporary phenomena, but you know, long term, yeah, I think people will see more people go from zero to an ETF to then eventually holding real Bitcoin. Than the inverse.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro. And I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Do you have more freedom than those corporate, you know, spot Bitcoin ETFs? And I would assume that you do. Like, you definitely do.
You can't spend your Bitcoin ETF anywhere, or yeah, your MicroStrategy. You can't share, you know, put that. All it is like, right, investment exposure. And so with your platform, you're able to kind of spend the Bitcoin, right?
Correct.
And yeah, that has to give you an advantage, because you were walking through it and totally, you were explaining it. And I was thinking of all the restrictions that are on these TradFi companies that, you know, they have all these strict regulations of what they can and can't do. And it's very, very narrow. I mean, you look at it and they even tried to say, hey, there's this built-in feature called staking. Can we at least do that? They're like, not yet. That's going to sit in the wallet. You're not going to do anything with it. And it's just going to, you know, sit there, and you're allowed to buy and sell, and that's it. But you all are a lot more robust in your approach and what you can do, right?
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, supporting the physical asset itself is there, yeah, empowering our users to be able to do that as well. And I think someday, hopefully, true in-kind redemptions come to the ETFs. I'm not very well studied in that. And so that would involve some practical utility for that, and probably help in just like kind of market structure parity on spot in those ETFs. But they're definitely restricted. I know not a lot of the ETFs can be, for instance, marginable, or they can't get a loan on Bitcoin ETFs inside your margin account, just like you could with most everything else, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's important to just, especially for the listeners, to understand this, because I've heard the angle that, oh, once these Bitcoin ETFs come out, there's not going to be a reason for these crypto companies, for these Bitcoin, you know, custodial companies, for, you know, owning Bitcoin on your own, you know, fill in the blank, right? We've heard all these crazy theories of like the Bitcoin ETFs are going to put all these other things out of business. And that's just not true, because there's so much variety that could be.
The ETFs wouldn't have, like, ETFs wouldn't have any value, yeah, if places like Unchained or all these other exchanges and wallets didn't exist, right? They would just be ETFs of a asset that had absolutely no utility, absolutely no spendability, or whatever. It's like the fact that there's, you know, companies like Unchained and all these different wallets or custody services means that the ETFs will have value over time. That's the way I think about it.
And they serve a purpose, right? We like the ETFs. They serve an awesome purpose.
Yeah, for sure.
They give access to people who previously maybe wouldn't have gotten access to crypto. However, they're not this all-encompassing solution of like, this is the only way crypto is going to be done moving forward. So, you know, we like it, but there's so much more outside just the world of ETFs, which we know is a hot topic right now.
Totally. I want to go back, Joe, to something that you mentioned. I believe it was the Gamut trust company.
Yeah.
I want to know what that is and what that kind of unlocks for you.
Yeah, cool. So it's Gannett, GAETT, and that's named after the tallest peak in Wyoming, which was named after the founder of the U.S. Geological Survey, who was a sort of pioneer in a lot of cartography and map making for the United States in the 1800s. So we thought that was kind of appropriate. We liken ourselves as navigators, is sort of our name for ourselves at Unchained as an archetype. And they were participating, kind of mapping out this new landscape of Bitcoin. And Gannett Trust, it's been an effort underway of almost 18 months, I want to say, between true like inception and like capability and the big papers, having the budget, frankly, we could embark on that with here at Unchained. There's this dearth of, a lot of custodians have trust companies because what you need to have what's called qualified custody is a trust company. That's a bank or trust company as it's defined. Qualified custody is a designation or a thing relevant to SEC regulated funds, usually, that can't hold, if they're investing on behalf of clients, they can't then hold the assets that are the clients. Be with a third party custodian, typically a qualified custodian. So there's this way, even though Bitcoin especially is not a security, but the way that SEC managed funds still for these assets that they're required to go, you know, at a qualified custodian. So that's always one way, like Coinbase or BitGo or many other traditional companies have maintained a trust company, and then that performs the qualified custody like box check for their clients. But that's kind of it. It's kind of this boring like infrastructure piece just around checking that box for a certain type of client. But there's a lot more. Like one of the things we see at Unchained is on the order of maybe 10% of the account types we have here are trusts. So it's kind of a newer world for me over the last decade of learning this. But, you know, a trust is somewhere in between. It's a corporation and like a person. But it is the kind of thing that have its own, quote, social security number. So its own kind of identity, like type status. It's not used usually for like liability purposes. It's usually used in like asset sheltering, or creating a lot of certainty about where the assets go and who inherits them on certain timelines. So if you're wanting assets to live somewhere that's protected from, you know, being sued or like, you know, creditor protection, that's that one use case. Or you preset up the trust so that when you die or you're hit by a bus, there's a trustee or there's some way this goes explicitly in a way that's maybe separate from your will, which might be have like generalities or cover more like personal items and artifacts. So trusts are, it's a legal, I don't want to say fiction because it's really reality, but it's like, it's a legal, it manifests in like the legal and judicial system. You want the thing that a judge will say, this is what happens. And then like, that's what happens, which is different than like physical, the kind of physical reality of Bitcoin, which like go where the keys sign and where the keys like designate this is going to the blockchain. So that, that difference is something that kind of gets mediated through a platform like Unchained, where you can set up your trust, which then has the EID or the basically the social security number with it, the like the designations, and then also PDFs, because like the legal system likes things that look like statements. So saying, oh, my trust has 100 Bitcoin in it, and then somebody else is like, well, what do you mean? And then like you like show them a blockchain address, like that's not really getting very far. But like, oh, a PDF says Unchained on the letterhead, and it's got this address and it's got this details. It's stamped April 30th, 2025. So like that just kind of gives that like little package for this is a real asset, this is a real thing. You could get to an attorney or your accountant or these other people in your lives that like will understand those things. And also people that use Unchained today, they have these trusts that many times maybe don't require an institutional trustee or don't require like somebody to administrate the trust. Like they're kind of self-administering it on their own. Now, certain trust types require that like the the person creating the trust doesn't also then control it. It has to like go somewhere else. And that somewhere else typically in our financial system looks like a trust company. It's like a trust company. It's kind of there in the name on the one hand. But then a trust company is then like the place that is there to be a longer lasting institution over people's lifetimes, because people die and then the assets that persist and move on, like somebody needs to be trustworthy to like help see those kind of move on. So trust company really kind of performs that role in a lot of people's financial lives. And as they've evolved, or like as an ecosystem, trust companies also perform areas of like wealth management, sometimes like investment advice, sometimes loans or lending. Like a lot of that kind of stuff happens inside of trust companies that we bundle in with, yes, overall the wealth management picture. So there's a way, there's just an extra capability for Unchained, to our knowledge. And from what we've seen, especially across our client base, there's no Bitcoin native or like Bitcoin focused trust company out there. So this is kind of the first and current real only. There are some trust companies that will work with the asset, but then they outsource the custody to an Anchorage or to like something else. They're not as like ingrained in it like we are. And like Gannett will be able to hold keys with our clients, again, in this native multi-sig format. So yeah, it's a really just, it's a way as well, just recognizing in the more complete evolution of Unchained and the services we offer, that things like inheritance or things like around these trust type entities, you know, we were only there at like 80 to 90%. And this gets us set to like 98% kind of a thing from just an overall completeness.
Yeah. I mean, on the topic of trust, can you walk us through a simple inheritance plan with your company? Because, you know, this is kind of a growing topic. The longer that crypto is around, how do you help your clients ensure that Bitcoin doesn't just become inaccessible, like at some point in the future?
Yes, this is a great sweet spot for us. An inheritance is kind of it's both simple and complex, really, depending on the person. I mean, the simple part around the Bitcoin security and like where's the Bitcoin, especially when you're using Unchained, is there's two keys for that person or maybe their household. There's one key at Unchained. And typically what we recommend, or what I think is practical, is that the person setting up the account, they've done it in consultation with their significant other or spouse, and that now, and they make that spouse aware of at least where one of those keys are. So, hey, the safe in the house, it has your Bitcoin key, something happens to me, call Unchained, tell them you have this key, and then like Unchained's got you. And we do, that's really our role. We've done that now for, fortunately, you know, tragically, many deaths or many times a scenario like that has happened. What's important for us, though, as now a financial institution and a service, is that like we need the evidence that this is, when someone's coming to us and say, hey, my husband just died, I'm looking to recover their Bitcoin in this account, I have the login and I have the key, like help me. Well, we don't know, like this is part of why in some ways even just like KYC is important, because now, well, if that person, you know, Doug Smith who was on the account, like that's who we're going to take instruction from. But if now Doug Smith's wife is coming up with like the death certificate, the probate or evidence that like this is where the assets should go from the standpoint of more now the legal system, now we will operate our key. Now we will operate like at, you know, to the letters of like that kind of instruction set. And the person who died can have made that easier for everybody, their spouse, judges, others, by having a very clean will, very, very well spelled out like delineation of what's supposed to happen, and that this, all my Bitcoin, all my everything goes to Jane or whomever, kind of a thing. So that's where the physical, we get to help with the security, the physical movement, the consultation with the survivors around the asset. We are restrained or constrained around just doing what is like legally supposed to happen in that case, which has to do with titling and like just asset inheritance kinds of like flows. I think that's the simplest case usually.
Yeah, no, that sounds awesome. And it makes a lot of sense, again, like for folks like myself, right? Like I just had my firstborn son, super stoked. My wife and I are like, oh my God, like crypto, like, you know, so we got to get with, you know, thinking about the inheritance planning. It's like something that I never thought about 5 years ago or even last year. But now that it's here, it's like, these are real things that you got to think about. And, you know, like, it's just crazy that, you know, we finally are at this point where, you know, crypto is so valuable that it's really worth protecting through more than just, like you said, the physical security, but also sort of the legal security as well.
Yeah, you don't want your cousin or your sister or whatever, like in this kind of, you know, say, oh yeah, that's what that should go to me. Or like, in these kind
yeah,
of, button it up.
You don't want to have it go through probate, right? And through the court system and get stuck with the state and have some, you know, random person or random family member claim that it's theirs and draw this out. And your wife has to pay legal fees if you're deceased and all that kind of stuff. So I love what you guys are doing. And I think it's truly incredible. And my last question, Joe, while we have you, I know that you have a new Bitcoin legacy project. And I wanted to hear a little bit about what this initiative is and kind of the long-term vision.
Sure. So Unchained's always been in this position of supporting and having been supported by the Bitcoin community, the broader set of people that believe in Bitcoin's ideals, work their damnedest and hardest for it to exist and continue to exist, either because they're at a company or because they're just like an individual who cares on Twitter or X. So we've supported that through like meetups at our offices here in downtown Austin, where I'm at. We have this whole floor leased, the second floor of the Littlefield building, and at but half of it is kind of more of our corporate offices, and the other half are split between a hacking co-working space called Pleb Lab and then a space called Bitcoin Park, formerly Bitcoin Commons, which hosts meetups every month. There's 1 week of like a meetup every night about Bitcoin design and for products design, Lightning, Bitcoin development, and it's a co-working space. So there's people in there that start Bitcoin companies and work on their projects. So that's kind of one area or place that we've been at doing for many years. But we also have like products at Unchained. I didn't even mention we have a donor advised fund, lets you donate Bitcoin, physical Bitcoin, where it lives in a multi-sig that you hold a key to. And so like churches or other charitable causes that you want to donate like, actual Bitcoin to, dApps are a way to do that. If you also want to manage like the timing in terms of like which tax year gets the benefit of the donation. So that's all. Yeah. And we've, you know, there's open source development. We have open source projects ourselves. We help support developers that work on those and other outside projects. And so the Bitcoin Legacy Project is one way to kind of cohere all the things we do kind of from just a budgetary standpoint of also being clear of like where we are spending all this. And yeah, to really just kind of show the world, like, you know, formalize what does happen, what already happens, and then strengthen some of the commitments to certain partners that are deserving of that financial support as well. So yeah, Bitcoin Legacy Project, look it up. If you're somebody who believes you're deserving of a grant or of a project that you should know about, feel free to send in an inquiry.
That sounds awesome. Mr. Joe Kelly, co-founder and CEO of Unchained. Where should people follow your journey? I know you have an X channel or an X handle that's quite popular at Unchained. Is there anything else that y'all like to, you know, kind of proliferate news through?
Yeah, I think that X is the biggest one. Don't let them capture it. We have a weekly newsletter if you want to sign up on our website as well. Blog nice. That gets some regular updates, but those are all good places to find us.
Fantastic. Well, we greatly appreciate your time. Thanks for you know, showing everybody all the amazing services that you offer. And hopefully if anybody who's listening right now is interested, please visit their website. We'll have all the links in the show notes. And it'd be super helpful if you mentioned that you heard about Joe and Unchained on Crypto 101 podcast. That will just increase our street cred. And all you good, wonderful citizens of Crypt Nation, you guys are amazing. Thank you for joining us week over week. Now over 660 episodes now or something like that. So we appreciate you guys in the audience watching, Joe, for being a great guest. And I'm sure we'll be crossing paths again soon, whether here at the Crypto 101 podcast or any of our summits or any of the virtual events that are going on or the physical ones. We'll see. I'm sure we'll see each other around. But again, thank you for your time. And yeah, we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Bryce and Brendan.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro. And I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Should GLP-1 weight loss medication like Wegovy and Zepbound cost thousands of dollars? We don't think so. Try LifeMD.com helps provide insurance access to the leading GLP-1 medications. Visit TryLifeMD.com and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0. Listen to Bridget's story after losing 55 pounds and using her insurance for coverage.
LifeMD helped me get covered with my insurance. Finding out that it was covered was huge. I've lost 55 pounds. I am so much healthier now that I've lost the weight. I would never be able to do it without them.
Get started today and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0 at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.